Science tells us what's good for the heart is also good for the brain, and that's what led the team behind the best-selling Superbeats Heart Chews to create their new Superbeats Memory and Focus. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied fermented resveratrol with a patented coffee fruit extract, Superbeats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps to support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Superbeats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways, by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels at BDNF. Healthy levels of BDNF, a key neuroprotein, support overall brain health as we age. Get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews when you shop at danasbeats.com. That's a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
I also have a responsibility not to allow the briefing room to become a forum for propaganda or a forum for pushing forward falsehoods or inaccurate information. My best preparation from that was actually serving as the State Department spokesperson when there were representatives of the Russian and Chinese media in the briefing room asking me questions that were directed by their government.
Wow. Golly, I already hate this week. Jeebus, it's the same pig feces every single day. Kane's already dying. We haven't even gotten started. It's Monday.
I know.
Oh, for the love. I hate everything. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash. It's your little goth Daria. And welcome. If you've not joined me before, well, I don't know how. I'm not going to describe myself to you. I hate that question usually. DanaLash.com. It's good to be with you guys, though. I like you guys. I hate everybody else. But it's good to be with you guys, though. DanaLash.com. We'll have some fun stuff out there for you. But it's we're starting out the week. A very stormy, rainy week. Well, stormy, rainy here in Texas anyway right now. So happy Monday. And we're going to get through this week together as we go through everything. But the what am I going to say about that? I'm not surprised. It's not what happened the previous blah, blah, blah. I'm tired of saying the obvious. If you want to go hear other people say stuff that's totally obvious, you can listen to other lowly shows that suck. But that's not what we're not discussing that. So this, a number of things to start out with, because I want to get into looking ahead at some 2022 stuff. I know. Don't wait before you drive headfirst into traffic. Because I'm already talking about it. We're not getting into election stuff. I'm specifically talking about a couple of things as it relates to really demographics. And we're going to get into all of that. And we're going to talk about some more of the latest unraveling the origin of the totally obvious it was made in a lab virus. I'm not even going to couch my remarks. I've had people say, are you worried about, you know, being too obvious, or do you have to no, because are we still pretending that are we all gonna act like we don't have suspicions about the origin of this? Because I'm not gonna do that. Well, we're also gonna get into some foreign policy stuff and all of that as well. So anyway, welcome to the show. Happy Monday to you. So as we get going, I'll say one thing about this, and this is, I noticed this from Twitchy. I'll say one thing about this, because yesterday was D-Day. And D-Day, doesn't that day seem way bigger because of everything else? It's a huge day anyway, but doesn't everything just seem like heavier because of everything that we've been going through and all the stuff that we've been dealing with? It really does seem a little bit heavier. Apparently, the president didn't say something about it on Twitter.
Or
Facebook. I'm a little torn on this kind of stuff, though. And you want to know why I'm a little torn on this kind of stuff? The reason I'm torn about this kind of stuff particularly is I hate people who live on Twitter. I hate the living on Twitter. I hate people who live on Facebook, and I hate the living on Facebook. Note that I'm not just making a distinction, but I'm not just saying a universal statement. I'm making the distinction and saying I hate them both. So part of me just thinks that this is just reactionary and, you know, should we be freaking out over this? It's a yes, blah, blah, blah. Oh, he didn't say anything on Twitter. He doesn't.
I always come from what would happen if Trump didn't acknowledge it? What would the media be doing?
I have more things to be pissed off about than the what if.
No,
what
no,
if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
All right.
What if? Because it's like
Monday.
The hypothetical.
You're already doing this on Monday?
Because you know why? You know why? Because it's Monday and I'm cranky today. That's why. I'm cranky pants.
I'm talking about the double standard. Yeah. That's all I'm talking about.
Yeah. I know. I understand what you're saying. But, you know, there's a but. And I'm not saying this to be a contrarian. Let me explain to you how I think. Okay, for instance, this actually has happened to me before with family stuff. And I don't really care if it hurts anybody's feelings. Then stop listening to my show, family member. So if somebody does something on Facebook, or if you don't wish somebody, if you text someone happy birthday, or if you say happy birthday to them when you see them, but you don't make it official on Facebook, have you really told them happy birthday? I have literally received texts from older family members. Like, did you tell happy birthday to so-and-so? I noticed I didn't see on Facebook. I didn't see on Facebook telling them happy birthday. I didn't see a special Instagram post telling them happy birthday. I didn't see it. And so then it makes me not ever want to tell anybody happy birthday, because I'm like, seriously, if it didn't happen online, then it doesn't exist. I'm like, how do you know I didn't text them? How do you know? And I was like so antagonistic and defensive when I responded. I'm like, how do you know I didn't text them happy birthday? So because I didn't make this public pledge, this public falling down all over myself, that means I don't wish this person a happy birthday. I hope they have a rotten birthday. I hope that comes across. Am I not wishing you happy birthday on Facebook? Right? So I'm so hostile to it that I view things through that lens. Does that make some sense?
Yeah, it does. I just think that it's a little diminished when you're comparing it to the leader of the free world not acknowledging something like that.
Right. Well, because they can acknowledge every other stupid thing. I get it. Right? They can acknowledge all the other stuff.
If you look at the timeline on his Twitter account, Facebook and all that, I mean, come on.
I mean, it is D-Day. But here's the other thing. Your argument also presupposes that the guy runs his own social media account.
That's a good point.
Let's be real. You know he's got some 20-year-old intern who's doing it, right? And the 20-year-old intern probably had a few too many brewskis the night before and couldn't be prevailed upon to actually put anything up. You guys know this. Come on, let's be real. Let's be real. You guys know that that's how it is. So I kind of think that maybe it's because... he doesn't run it. He doesn't run his own account. So people were mad because like, oh my gosh, Biden didn't, you know, he didn't say anything about armed forces, anything on D-Day. But he did tweet, we're getting America back on track. And he had a picture of himself. Yep. On track to what? What are we off track? I mean... Like back on track to crapping all over the economy, like back to high taxes, like back to what?
Inflation.
Hyperinflation, which by the way, Jen Psaki says is just, you know, it's going to be a plus for society. That's what inflation's going to be. It's just going to be a plus for society. She said that, and this is after Janet Yellen was talking about the concern after that G7 meeting in London, where you have the nations of the world who are agreeing to a 15, they're talking about taxes and they're looking at a 15% minimum corporate tax rate. And they said that contrary to what Biden was pushing. So, but apparently soaring inflation is good. This is something that, not Jen Psaki, sorry, but Janet Yellen said in an interview with the Bloomberg media. She said, if we ended up with a slightly higher interest rate environment, it would actually be a plus for society's point of view and the Fed's point of view. These were actual words that came voluntarily out of her mouth. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Do you remember when Trump was lowering taxes back, what was this, 2017, 2016?
You mean that big bad orange man?
Yeah. And the narrative at the time was this was going to spark inflation and ruin the economy.
Mm-hmm.
But now inflation's good?
Oh, it's a good... Yeah, because he's not in the White House. Golly, Kane, it's like you don't know the rule of obviousness for Democrats. when they're in the White House, things that are bad are good. And when they're out, things that are good are bad. I mean, that's Dems to rules.
Accurate, simple, and extremely accurate, actually.
She said, Janet Yellen said, we're seeing some inflation, but I don't believe it's permanent. We, at least on a year-over-year basis, will continue, I think, the rest of the year to see higher inflation rates, maybe around 3%.
Wait, it's not permanent, this positive for the economy?
Yeah. She goes, I'm not going to give up on the next package, just talking about the trillions of spending. She goes, they're not meant as stimulus. They're meant as investments to address longstanding needs of our economy. I hate when taking people's money, stealing our dollars via taxation, and using it for stupid garbage is described as investments. Because, see, the word investment suggests that you are making a smart decision with your money. The word investment means that you're going to get a what? A return on your investment. It doesn't mean that you're going to fritter away people's hard-earned tax dollars on things like solar panels, etc. And by the way, for the people who read with pictures, I'm not against solar panels. I'm against them not them operating without being on the teat of the taxpayer. Stop it. If you want something to be, I mean, I have no problem with alternative energy. I have no problem with solar panels. I have no problem with A, B, C, D, E, F, G, gluten, GMOs, or anything else. I don't care. But it's when you're taking our tax dollars to prop up the industry because the market doesn't support it. That's not capitalism. And it's a stupid government decision, and government shouldn't be involved in anything like that. Government is always the biggest obstacle to the economy. Whenever the economy does, whenever something bad happens and it's not due to ravages of war or a natural catastrophe, it's always the catastrophe of government every single time. So she's like, well, you know, we might, she says that she, you know, might be right. It might be transitory inflation. Good heavens. But this is not an investment. The long-standing needs of our economy, no, that's not at all what they're talking about. It's a redistribution. That's exactly what it is. So, yeah. And we still have not at all on track with employment numbers, not at all on track with, we were doing so good with an economic recovery. And it's like everything that could possibly be done to stop that, the Biden administration is doing it. So back to my point, maybe that's what they mean by back on track. American jobs plan. This is like a South Park episode. Tweets on D-Day. We're getting America back on track. Good heavens. So that's one of the things we're going to be focusing on as well. Also coming up, Kamala Harris is, and I always want to say Kamala or Kam. I don't care. President. That's what Joe Biden calls her, right? She's in Guatemala to investigate why the U.S. southern border is overrun. That's the stupidest headline of the day. I'm not going to go to the border. I'm going to go somewhere else. What? That's like, there's a leak in the dam. Why don't I go over here to Forever 21, the clothing store that some middle-aged women take seriously? Let's go here. Right? Like, she's like, let's go nowhere near the leak in the dam. It's like if the Hoover Dam had a leak in it and everything was going to get flooded. Let's not go and investigate the actual leak in the dam. Let's not look at it. Let's go to Maine. I mean, it's just, what's the point? Good heavens. I mean, unless she's going down there to interview the drug cartels that they're funding, maybe that's a thought. So how much money are we giving you? And let's see, what are you investing it in? Oh, more drugs. Okay. More coyotes to traffic people. Okay, I see. Is that because that's the only thing I can think of? Anyway, she's down in Guatemala to investigate the southern border. Okay. Also, more than a third of all small businesses are now in danger of closing this summer. Wonderful. No, you idiotic media. This headline makes me want to jump off my roof and break my legs to nubbins. Trump did not wear his pants backwards at a rally. This is why aliens don't visit us, because they hate you. They hate you. And why would they want to live on this godforsaken planet with people like you who write headlines like this? Help us all. And also, we got some more stuff with the bat virus, blah, 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 blah. I hate North Face. I'll tell you more about that coming up. Of course, the Mayweather and Jake Paul thing was stupid. And if anybody actually bet money on it or took it anything more than a dumb exhibition that was just all for clicks, then you're dumb too. What else do I have? Let's just go after everybody today. We have a lot to touch on. It's cranky, stormy Monday. We're going to get through the week together. Science tells us what's good for the heart is also good for the brain. And that's what led the team behind the best-selling Superbeats Heart Chews to create their new Superbeats Memory and Focus. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied fermented resveratrol with a patented coffee fruit extract, Superbeats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps to support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Superbeats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways, by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels at BDNF. Healthy levels of BDNF, a key neuroprotein, support overall brain health as we age. Get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews when you shop at danasbeats.com. That's a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
New York City is planning for a massive a Central Park mega concert to celebrate the reopening of New York City. The mayor's office has asked producer Clive Davis to sign up stars for the event on the Great Lawn in August. Let me guess, it'll be like Maroon 5 and Spin Doctors, and it'll be sponsored by Crocs and Internet Explorer, right? No, maybe? I don't know. I just hate everything. I hate this too. I hate this idea. Stop it. Also, this is just what I wrote literally on my list. Yes, the Floyd Mayweather versus Logan Paul exhibition bout was a boring waste of time. Mayweather's too small to knock out the much bigger Paul. Paul is too much of an undisciplined fat A double snakes to be at all technically capable to even spar with Mayweather. Did you guys look, by the way, at the comparison between how many, like the how many punches, like the statistics on each Mayweather and Paul? It was sad. Like, Floyd Mayweather, I've never seen him look so heavy. I've never seen him heavy like that ever in my life. And he wasn't even breaking a sweat. Man was not even breaking a sweat. Meanwhile, Logan Paul looked like he just ran a marathon. Boy was dying. He was dying. That was like not even, that was Mayweather performing charity. That's what that was. That's what that was yesterday. Let's see. Most people have been saying this actually for 11,000 years. Jennifer Granholm, energy secretary, says, guess what? In obvious news, enemies are capable of shutting down the United States electric grid. Yeah, they are. That's why we've been telling you guys to beef it up and quit worrying about alternative forms of energy. Stick with us.
The cartels are taking advantage of the border crisis. Kids are still being used as pawns, and there's a good chance it's about to get a whole lot worse. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, I'll explain the human misery I saw along the border this week. And Lieutenant Christopher Olivares of the Texas Department of Public Safety joins me to discuss the criminal elements pouring into the U.S. The Biden administration wants to ignore all of this, but we won't. Subscribe to the Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
Joe Manchin has become the new Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell, during Obama's presidency, said he would do everything in his power to stop Obama. He's also repeated that now during the Biden presidency by saying he would do everything in his power to stop President Biden. And now Joe Manchin is doing everything in his power to stop democracy and to stop our work for the people, the work that the people sent us here to do.
Today in Stupid Comments. Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. Make sure you go check it out. Sign up for the newsletter where it says subscribe. I'm going to be revamping the website here. Actually, it's in the planning stages. We're getting ready to put it into action. So things are going to be changing quite a bit. So as I said, welcome back to the show. Democrats are mad at Joe Manchin. That was, what's that guy? Some lawmaker. So
Jamal Bowman, representative.
Okay. I don't know every single Democrat's name. I don't know. I just don't care. I don't care. I especially don't care if it's something as ridiculous as what we were listening to. So he's talking about the For the People Act, which is anything but for the people. Just let's put it as plainly as possible. The For the People Act, and that's specifically H.R. 1, is a garbage piece of legislation that is about taking your voting rights and your ability to vote and have impact in your area and taking it all the way to Washington, D.C. So you tell me if you think it sounds like it's for the people to make it to where you can't clean up your voter rolls. You let me know if you think it's for the people when you want to be able, for instance, as I'm trying to do, because last election, someone was illegally registered to vote at my address. And because Democrats are running the election board and everything else, it's a little bit difficult to get things changed with any relative speed. And imagine if you're like me and instead of being able to try to reach out to someone in your area and deal with the issue, you have to deal with a bureaucrat all the way in Washington, D.C. You tell me if you think that sounds like it's for the people. Also, tell me if you think it sounds like it's for the people when the founding fathers and the Constitution as it is written, because I don't see how anything like this can pass without the Constitution being amended, where they want to circumvent the Constitution and unconstitutionally remove from states their rights, as was granted to them in the Constitution, to be able to manage and carry out statewide elections. And changing all of that and federalizing all of it in the bureaucratic haven that is Washington, D.C. You tell me if you think that that sounds like it's, quote unquote, for the people. I know, that's what I thought. It's rhetorical because it's not. People are mad because Joe Manchin's like, I'm not going to blow everything up and use and completely abandon the filibuster, which is, you know, a tool that we used to value as a party until it didn't wasn't advantageous for us anymore. He also opposes H.R. 1 because it's a ridiculous piece of ridiculousness. It's for the lobbyist. It's for the politician. It's for the bureaucrat. That's what H.R. 1's about. It's one of the most dangerous pieces of legislation that's ever been proposed. They talk about making Washington, D.C. its own state, which is also unconstitutional, would require a constitutional amendment. And furthermore, Washington, D.C. is supposed to be something that is at the it's supposed to be subjugated to the states, where this would put it on par with it. So it completely undermines and destroys the whole point of having it set up like that. These are just people who are trying to figure out the best way that they can squeeze votes out for their ever failing agenda. That's all this is. And Joe Manchin, I'm going to tell people what Joe Manchin's from West Virginia. This is a state that in 2020 went for Donald Trump by 68%. He's the only Democrat in federal government there. He's figured out a way to make it to he figured out a way to be a Democrat in the Trump era. He's one of the last moderate Democrats. Actually, I think he and Sinema are the only two moderate Democrats that are in the Democrat Party anymore. He ain't going anywhere unless voters in West Virginia want him to go somewhere. So you can have all these people sit here fearmonger about race, but you know what? That's just going to make him dig in further. But I'll also add this. They need a boogeyman. Democrats need a boogeyman. They don't have Trump in the White House anymore to act as the boogeyman, so they got to have somebody, and they're going to turn Joe Manchin into that, because the January 6th thing, they keep going on and on about these groups that, I mean, really have like, what, five people in them? That's it? They need some kind of agitator that they can fundraise off of, and Joe Manchin's going to be it. They're going to go after Kristen Sinema in the same way. But this is, they don't have a big coalition on the Democrat side. It's just the left. If you disagree with any aspect of it, they're going to drum you out. And that's exactly what they're going to, that's what they're starting to do with Joe Manchin right now. But he's not going nowhere. That's why he didn't care. He don't care what they say. 68% that state went for Trump, but he's a Democrat and survived in it because he realized how to politic. That's what politics is. It's about compromising and pressing the flesh and kissing the babies without compromising your position. That's what it is. And for better or for worse, he's figured out a good way to do it. So he's not going anywhere unless Democrats want him to go somewhere. That's just the bottom line to it. 21. Yeah, this, let me look at that. Yeah, so by the way, this is actually what he's talking about. And he makes, I'll say this, Joe Manchin makes a good point here. Listen to this.
If we go down that path of where it's going to be just, you know,
the S-1 bill specifically, you think is a disaster, or doing
I think doing it nonpartisan right now is difficult, and as separate as our state is, doing anything in a partisan manner. The more things we do in a partisan fashion and not trying to do it in a bipartisan fashion separates us further. It's not good for our country.
He's right. It does. I mean, it's a bipartisan thing, and that's exactly what it is. He's exactly 1,000% correct. Good for him. And so, they're mad at him for it. Boy, oh boy, are they mad. And they're going to get, just stay mad. Y'all can stay mad because that's, I mean, it, so what? But he's absolutely correct with us. So you're going to hear a lot of that rhetoric, particularly this week with Democrats, a lot of it. And in the meantime, you have, we were talking about some of the inflation and the stuff that they were talking about, that they were pushing with this. Progressives are trying to get Biden to go even harder. He's got their, they're prepping that $1 trillion infrastructure plan. White House and Republican negotiations aren't going so well. They're not, no, it's not. Here's the other thing that Democrats are dealing with, and I can't believe this is a top story. Or, well, it was one of the things that was trending. The Pentagon and the State Department are at odds over the Rainbow Pride flag. I can't even believe this is, because Memorial Day got one day, but you have Pride Month. We'll just make that point. So you have an entire month, Pride Month, and the Defense Department, they're not going to allow the Pride flag to be flown at installations, unlike the State Department, said spokesperson John Kirby. This has always been the rule. This is the rule at military installations here and abroad, and it has been for forever. There is no other flag that should be flown but that of the United States flag, the end. And that's the problem. When you start insisting that you be seen as X, Y, and Z first before an American, while simultaneously and ironically, I might add, talking about quote-unquote equality. We demand equality by treating everyone unequally and having unequal representation and unequal consideration and unequal attention. Kirby said there's not going to be any exceptions made. And I think this came after embassies were authorized to fly the communist BLM flag. And I say it's a communist BLM flag because it's a communist flag, because it's a communist organization that was created by communist Marxists who admitted, or by communist, by Marxists, who admitted that they were Marxists with their own mouths, using their own vocal cords, born of their own will. So it's not. They said that Secretary of State Anthony Blinken reversed the Trump administration policy. He said, yes, you can display the pride flag at State Department. He said diplomatic outposts are not required to fly it. Go ahead and do that in, like, Iran and see where that happens, how that works. I triple dog dare you. You know, because they are so eager. What, I mean, let's see. What do you think makes the biggest, since it's Pride Month and all, tell me why this administration is so eager to allow Iran to go nuclear and to work with Iran when they literally kill you if they even think you're gay. Oh, Google it. That's a death penalty. That's a death penalty offense in Iran. And basically evidence consists of, well, so-and-so said you were, and he brought other friends who also say you are. So there you are. You're gay. You're guilty. You're going to be thrown off a roof. Google it. You know, because Pride Month and all. Nothing says pride like getting involved in a nuclear, not really agreement, a treaty that hasn't been ratified by Congress, for people who throw other people off of rooftops for being what that flag represents. Oh, the irony. But it's Pride Month. Tell us about Iran. Now, law and order stuff. Maya Wiley is some chick from New York. I don't know. And I know AOC did a fundraiser for her. She's a mayoral hopeful. Oh, she's not going to go nowhere. She wants to take $18 million away from the police and create a participatory justice fund. And she wants therapy for criminals. That's what she's proposing with your tax dollars up there in New York. Actually, she wants to take $1 billion away from NYPD overall. And then she wants to take $18 million from that to create what they call a participatory justice fund to curb gun violence, which is a dumb phrase. And then she wants to offer therapy to I think that we coddle criminals too much, quite honestly. But that's me. And I think that they continue off of the indulgence of that behavior. So she claimed her partner had begun, this was something like New York Daily News, they were asking about hypocrisy because apparently she pays for private security to patrol the street she lives on in Prospect Park in Brooklyn. Do you know that? $550 a month. She pays for private security because she can't. Now, she threw her partner under the bus and said, oh, no, my partner Harlan did it. Harlan wrote the check. I didn't know. Wow, you totally threw Harlan under the bus there, Maya. And the complicating factor, according to New York Daily News, which I don't like that outlet, but Harlan was mugged. And so Harlan's all about having that private security. But you guys don't get police. But see, they're wealthy, they're rich New Yorkers who can afford a nice place in Brooklyn in like the bougie part. So they can pay for private security. This is class warfare nonsense. Have you noticed this? I kept thinking of this with the Otis McDonald case in New York. Every time I read about people paying for private, I mean, that is a nice street, by the way, in Brooklyn. That is a nice, leafy, green street in Brooklyn. That house is easily 1.5. Easy. And I have a talent for appraising property. That house is easily 1.5. I can look, here, sidebar. Want to know a fun fact? You want to know how much something is? You show me it. I have a knack for telling you. Just tell me the city that it's in. Show me the house and I'll tell you how much that house is. And I am maybe only like a few thousand dollars off. Wow. No joke. The most I've ever been off is like $30,000. Wow. Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's like I can look at it and I'm like, I can tell you how much that is. This is why, which has nothing to do with the show. Why, when Bob Barker, when he was host of Price is Right, I would have won that show more than anyone would have ever won that show. I would have won it harder, faster, and better than any other person who's ever played that show. Because that is my skill set. I'm like Liam Neeson in Taken. I have a particular set of skills. And one of those is guessing prices accurately. That's what it is. I don't know what. I don't know what it is. There's just the thing. And I can also spot dupes from a mile away, even if I don't really know a lot about it. Because I don't know what. It's so weird. Anyway, that house is easy because that's a nice neighborhood. Nice. I mean, when you've got a big enough front yard in New York and you're in Brooklyn and you got hostas. Okay. You know what I'm saying? You got hostas in your yard. You have a nice property. You have a nice property. You got some columns on your house. It's a nice property. Pays for private security. Like I said, it reminds me of Otis McDonald in Chicago. Otis McDonald, elderly black gentleman who is a natural rights. I don't say civil rights because firearm ownership is a natural right. Natural rights hero. And if people really cared about recognition of people like Otis McDonald and black American heroes, there'd be a statue of that man in Chicago. A statue. Because that man overturned the handgun ban. He took Lisa Madigan and the whole damn state of Illinois and all corrupt Cook County to court. And he won rights for everybody. And I mean, he just, but it was class warfare because they want to price out poor people from being able to defend themselves. Poor people, poverty is not a crime. Why do you treat it like it is? Why do you try to ban guns from areas where good poor people live and maybe they want to protect their families? But because you're class warfaring against them, you want to deny them their rights because you think they're, but you can pay for some bougie security for you? It's a limousine liberal. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms. Pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
It's the Dana Show.
I'm dying right now, so I did my first ever, because we were talking last break about how I would have been the ideal Price is Right contestant because I can guess property prices. And like Steve, I think, just wanted to screw me over. He probably just sent a picture. It wasn't. I've never done a townhouse. I've done houses. I've never done a townhouse. And he's like, oh, it's in Arlington. It's like two stops away, you know, et cetera. And oh my gosh, Steve, for like the price you're telling me, Kane, tell the man what he could get in Texas.
Oh my gosh, in Texas?
He could Steve, get a, oh my gosh.
A multi-acre mansion.
You, yes. You, I mean, with like a movie room and a pool. And like all kinds of stuff. Oh my gosh.
And those four bedrooms and
three. For half of that, you could get it.
No need to remind me. Appreciate it.
Oh my gosh. We're just like, and you would have no income tax.
Right.
Oh my gosh. You would get walk-in closet. Steve, you get a walk-in closet.
I just want a pool.
Come on. Oh my gosh. Right. I'm dying. See, now look, this is why. Okay, so he said nine, and I was looking. I'm like, And I was like way under. You said 650. I yeah. said 475 to 5. And he said 9. So we were actually both way off.
Way off, but.
And but yeah, I'm not, I don't want to tell everybody where he lives, but like DC, right? He lives like in around DC proper. A little outside DC, but yeah. Property though there is crazy. Like property in LA, proper, and actually property around where we live, like anywhere in the DFW metroplex, property's starting to get a little crazy because everybody's moving. Like nothing stays on the market. And I get it why younger generations don't want to own. If I hadn't owned when I was young and had equity built up, I would be right there. I get why they don't, because you never really own your own property. Steve's like, yeah, we got to pay to park. I'm like, you pay property tax, but you got to pay to park on your street. Stay with us. More in store, folks. It's the Dana Show. Now more than ever, it's vital to support companies and organizations that share your values. And Patriot Mobile is calling all patriots. Switch to Patriot Mobile today. Bring your own phone and you'll get 50% off your first 2 months plus a free Patriot starter kit. And for a limited time, enter the Be a Patriot promotion to win a free phone and cellular service for life. Simply donate to one of Patriot Mobile's participating charities. Send in your thoughts on what it means to be a patriot, or switch your service to a Patriot Mobile plan. With the broadest nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and great multi-line discounts. Switching is easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Get the discount, free starter kit, and enter the Be a Patriot promotion for a chance to win using the offer code DANA. A full list of rules is available at patriotmobile.com/Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
During 9/11, people running away from those burning buildings, running away in horror. We saw policemen and firemen running to those buildings, basically running to their deaths to go help others because they saw trouble and they knew that they were needed. That's got to be us in this day right here. We've got to run to the trouble, folks. And what is the trouble? The trouble is the Biden administration that is seeking to turn this country into a socialist hellhole. The trouble is Antifa that wants to roam the streets and beat you into submission. The trouble is Black Lives Matter that claims to care about the lives of black people but has turned a blind eye. Why violence in black communities are taking lives at a genocidal rate. They've turned a blind eye.
Man, this man put him on the ticket for the vice president, president. I don't even care. I met him before, and when did I have the privilege of meeting him? Was it? No, maybe it was. It wasn't in Dallas. Welcome back to the show, everybody. First off, it's Monday. It's good to be with you. I started the show super cranky pants, but then as we hung out, y'all put me in a better mood. So, you know, because it's raining and storming. And it's like at some point, like, you know, as a former goth kid, I love the storms and all that, but I need some sun, Texas. Come on. It's good to be with you. Happy Monday. DanaLash.com. And make sure you subscribe to that newsletter, chapter and verse. I'll have some stuff coming out there for you. That is Lieutenant Governor, by the way, Mark Robinson from North Carolina. He's fantastic. Y'all remember when he was going off on the city council? Good. He's fantastic. Love it. Good stuff. And he, by the way, is 1,000% correct. And I love the story that he tells. That it is. I mean, that's kind of, you know, what we're seeing from this administration. And the stuff that they're proposing and the way that they're proposing it, that's the other thing. This is, it's not good for the country. If you're wondering why the administration is focusing so much on race, everything's got to be about race. Everything's got to be about it. It's because they're in trouble. And we saw this originally we saw this after the 2020 election. Remember we talked about this. We saw this originally after the 2020 election because there were a number of, in Texas particularly, not just in Texas, but in California and some other areas, and not just border states either. But there were a number of races, for instance, in Texas that really went hardcore Republican. Like in McAllen, Texas. We're down in McAllen, KURV. It's one of my favorite markets ever. My brother Sergio down there, one of our dear friends. That town, the first time ever? Maybe? Not the first time ever. Surely not. They elected a Republican mayor. In McAllen, border town, 150,000 people. And a number of these other areas. And when you, and you can go, and the reason you can get all this data is you can go to like the Secretary of State website. That's part of the job. Secretary. There's the Southern Missouri coming out. Secretary of State. And you can look at raw data state by state. Hispanic voters in never before seen record numbers were voting against Democrats. And not just in Texas, in California and elsewhere across the country, Democrats were shocked. They were shocked. And all of this, they started seeing some of it. 2016 and 2020. Oh, man. Here was a headline right after the election. Hispanic shock Democrats in deep blue California. LA Times piece. Democrats shocked by Hispanic voters' rejection. Whew. They were all trying to figure out how could it happen? They had Prop 16 in California, 14-point defeat. It would have overturned a thing on affirmative action, all this other stuff. It was put on the ballot by a chairwoman in response to killing of George Floyd. We saw this too. What was it? Prop 8 in California, and that had to do with same-sex marriage in California. Do you remember this? This is back in like 2010, I think. I think this is honestly, in California at least, this is when the cracks in the relationship begin to happen with Hispanics and Democrats. Because Democrats have always, and I've said this for years, they try to patent people's gender, their ethnicity, their race, everything. Like, you can't be, that's why Joe Biden was like, you're not black unless you vote for me. Democrats have always promoted, well, you can't be authentically female unless you're Democrat. You can't be authentically gay unless you're Democrat. You can't be authentically Hispanic unless you're Democrat. You can't be authentically black unless you're Democrat. They've patented it to conflate the person with the issue, which is why I think they have such a problem treating other people with any semblance of humanity, because they've made people and issues one thing. And that's become very difficult to separate those two for a lot of people on the far left. But I remember with Prop 8, and that was the same-sex marriage thing in California. Do you remember when everybody went after the Mormons for it? They went after the Mormons, hardcore. Because they said the Mormons were donating and all this stuff. Well, one of the stories that I had to write, and I worked with Andrew Breitbart at the time. One of the stories that I wrote was looking at who else was donating to that proposition in California. And the bigger supporters were the Black and Hispanic community, more so than the Mormons. But I'm like, what? Why are they going after the Mormons then? That doesn't make sense. Because they're terrified to go at, because Democrats, white Democrats were terrified to go after the Black and Hispanic communities to criticize them. So they made it act, they act like it was, they acted like it was all the Mormons. That's what they did. And I've just, that was really, it was, that's fascinating to me to watch how they watch that happen. And so, again, it comes up. Like, for instance, on Prop 16, when they were talking about affirmative action, which they deleted, which they defeated, one of the voters wrote an op-ed that was in the San Diego Tribune. He's a Chinese immigrant. He said, quote, "It's wrong for the government to have the power to favor some of its citizens over others. I witnessed in China how evil a government could be once it has this kind of power." And that is it. That's the thing. When you look at all of this data, I could sit here and show you all of these stories, right? How in Florida, that was another thing. Hispanics in Florida scared the hell out of Democrats, scared the hell out of them this last election. Oh my gosh. The numbers, we talked about that the day after the election. Oh my gosh, the numbers were crazy. Democrats were like, wait a minute, how is this? We thought we could just pander and just say what we thought you wanted to hear, and that would work. Whew. What is it? One of the Democrats, Donna Shalala, called herself a pragmatic socialist. It ruined her. Ruined her. There was a, oh man, ruined her. Because voters were rejecting socialism, but particularly Hispanic voters are rejecting socialism. And is it a shock? Why? I started thinking about all of this morning when I saw this piece from The Intercept, which ironically, this is a piece that a publication started by Glenn Greenwald that now is basically, you know, antithetical to everything that Glenn Greenwald does now. But I mean, it was kind of amazing to see the way that they wrote this. They said parents, mostly white, have been storming school board meetings across the state of Georgia over the last few weeks, heeding a call by conservative demagogues to fight against, quote unquote, critical race theory being taught in schools. Now, the sad thing is that in a world where some people didn't view every action through the lens of race, the focus would be on parents in general opposing actual Marxist theory designed to teach division. It's actually racist. That's masquerading as education. And it's teaching kids to see everything through the lens of race, first and foremost. But I thought that was weird. And maybe in Georgia, I don't know. I don't know about the groups in Georgia. Maybe in Georgia, most of them are white. I don't know. It says mostly white. But the way that they positioned this in the article was to act as though every single group or parent advocating against CRT was some, like, you know, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. In my town, the people who led it, it was a Cuban family and a Mexican family. A Cuban immigrant father and his family led the fight. That's where the lawsuit came from against the school board here. Another one, another parent, Juan Saldivar, a Mexican family. He was the one going and talking to all the press. I mean, one of the loudest voices is a mother that we've had on the program in Virginia, in Fulton County schools. Asra Nomani, she's a Muslim Democrat. The bigotry that they're talking about here is their casual whitewashing of all of these parents' backgrounds, because these parents' opposition to Marxist theory complicated The Intercept's narrative. How stupid do you have to be to think that anyone who is immigrating to join the giant, big old American family and coming from a country where there is government tyranny, coming from a country where politicians suck up all the resources from the people who earn that fruit with their labor, coming from a country like, I don't know, Cuba, where they've had to endure generations of Castro, or coming from Venezuela, or Mexico even, parts of Mexico are totally domineered by cartels. And to think that you're going to promote those same exact policies, but in, like, what, a shinier, more professionally packaged form, and that people will accept it? No, of course. Of course Hispanic voters are rejecting that. When I was down in McAllen, oh my gosh, that's one thing I heard over and over again. People who came to the United States, became Americans, and are like, we see what's happening in other parts of the country. We don't want that here. I have some friends who came from Venezuela who live in Florida. They're like, this is why do they think that they can, that Democrats can pander to the Hispanic community? Do they act like we've never heard these promises before? Why do they think we've never heard this before? And that really stunned me. It was one of my friends who said that. He and his family live actually in Broward County. And I met them through Parkland. And he had a child in Parkland that day. But I'll never forget that quote. He said, "Do they act like we've never heard these promises before?" It's like, whew, that's powerful. When you look at all this data, there is a reason. I said before, I really do think that Marxist hating Hispanic Americans are going to right that ship, and they're going to reject this Marxism soundly at the ballot box and defeat it.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right, so first up on our headlines for today, the Ukrainian president, Vladimir Zelensky, told Axios that, remember how we talked about the Nord Stream 2, the pipeline that Russia was, you know, going to go around Ukraine? He said, quote, "This is a weapon in the hands of the Russian Federation. It's not very understandable. The bullets to this weapon can be provided by such a great country like the United States," end quote. And that's true, because that's, he's talking about Joe Biden's green lighting of the continual construction of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. And doesn't, we talked about this with Stevie Nates, is going to be joining us later. This doesn't make any sense at all whatsoever. A Texas mom, what in the world? There are better ways to do this, yo. A Texas mom was arrested for posing as her 13-year-old daughter and attending classes all day to prove weaknesses in the middle school security. 30-year-old Casey Garcia was arrested for criminal trespass. She posed as her 13-year-old, went for an entire day of classes. I get her point. She made a video explaining it all, but you can't do that. There's way better ways to go about that. Way better ways. Anonymous, the group, they made one of their videos and they're threatening Elon Musk for influencing Bitcoin prices. Also, scientists are saying that humans have an untapped ability to regenerate body parts like salamanders. Whoa, ooh, I'm actually super interested in this. Yeah. They said that they're talking about tissue growth and macrophages in salamander response. Fascinating stuff. Stick with us. We got a lot more on the way.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
Does President Biden have a position on gain of function research?
Well, we have not, as Dr. Fauci has actually said repeatedly, we've never approved any funding for gain-of-function research in Wuhan. I know that's, I think, why you're asking the question. I believe some may have been approved, or there was funding approved during the prior administration. There's a framework, I should say, this is not meant to be a criticism, of funding and how it's approved through different NIH programs, but I would send you to them to give more of an explanation of the funding mechanism.
And just since you mentioned Dr. Fauci again, can you imagine any circumstance where President Biden would ever fire him?
No.
Didn't they all attend an event together, too, by the way? Yeah, that's what I thought. Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com. Good to be with you. Happy Monday. I know you're like, it's not happy. It's Monday. Stop it. She would actually answer what Biden's position was on gain of function research as well. But to say that there's never been proof of that funding is not, that's not accurate, because, I mean, we know exactly. I mean, there's a money trail. You had Peter Daszak, who was with EcoHealth Alliance, and he's the guy who wrote that piece in The Lancet that was the first spin for, or actually against, trying to link the origin of the pandemic to that laboratory. And he was the guy who packaged all the grants and allocated the grants and talked about why they needed X, Y, and Z. So the fact that that's, as the kids' king would say, is sus.
Sus, bro.
It's pretty sus, bro. The kids are dying somewhere now because we said sus. But that's not accurate. It's not accurate at all. And good on Peter Ducey, by the way, for getting that, for having some accountability. Wall Street Journal has a piece this morning. Let me pull this up for you. I have links. I have linkages about the lab experiment gone awry. That's kind of how it's described. The Fourth Estate is trying to act as though they had nothing to do to smearing any of the people who were questioning whether or not this perhaps could have leaked from that lab. So the Wall Street Journal, they have an op-ed. It's from two scientists. They say that all the science points to it being a lab disaster. Now, at the very least, there seems to be a consensus on this whole thing coming from that lab. What there is not a consensus on is whether it was an accident or intentional. I have my thoughts. I'm being fair. I think some people in the scientific community are going so far as to say, well, it looks like it's from the lab, but I feel like they want to say more, but they're being objective scientists, and that's what they should be. I don't want my science politicized. There's several things that I don't want politicized. Money, God, and science. I don't want those things politicized. Amen. That's it. Because I don't want to hear my preacher get political either way. I don't want to hear anybody talking about money, my money particularly, getting political. And I don't want to hear people who are talking about science, and under that I put medicine and education, everything else. I don't want to hear people with that getting political. I don't care what side it's for. I don't want to hear them getting political about it. Because I feel like the moment that happens, truth is gone forever. And you cannot, you can't get it back. You can't reestablish that once that's lost, at least for that generation. You know, you got to spend forever working to get, like, I think our Fourth Estate, our press, I think that the damage that they did to their relationship between themselves and the people, and I don't believe in an objective press, because the press never started as an objective entity. I do believe in honesty, and that's where I think the difference is. I'm not asking people, and I'm different than maybe perhaps some others out there. I'm not demanding that a reporter completely, although I think if you really are about delivering the news to the people, you want to be objective. And the credibility and your reputation is based on that integrity and that ability to just give truth. I just think you need to be honest. Because if you're just being honest about it, then does it matter what your bias is? No. All I'm asking for is honesty. That's it. I don't care if you got a bumper sticker on your car. I don't care if you make political donations. I'm just asking you to be honest. Seems simple enough, right? So, the Wall Street Journal, this piece, Stephen Quay and Richard Mueller, these are the guys who wrote it. They said, quote, the most compelling reason to favor the lab leak hypothesis is firmly based in science. They say, in particular, consider the genetic fingerprint for COV2, that's the novel coronavirus responsible for the disease COVID-19. In gain-of-function research, a microbiologist can increase the lethality of a coronavirus enormously by splicing a special sequence into its genome at a prime location. Now, sidebar. They said doing this leaves no trace of manipulation, but it alters the virus spike protein, rendering it easier for the virus to inject genetic material into the victim cell. Now, I'm going to pause here. Sidebar to this. How long, do you remember, Kane, how long it took when we identified that it was a coronavirus and we figured out what was happening and all of these other countries? And I remember the WHO actually had to get involved, and that was the only way. I think that was maybe the sternest perhaps that they got with China. We needed China to release genome sequencing so that we could figure out the best way to position a vaccine for this. You know, it didn't begin with them, but they had to release the genome sequencing for whatever. It was a long time, right? I mean, this, everything kind of started locking down, what, in March of 2020? it wasn't until like April or so, I think. It was a little bit, because I remember every day we talked about that.
We still haven't gotten 100% cooperation in that.
Yeah. I actually got emails from actual scientific researchers and people who work in microbiology and all of this. And they were like, we agree. That is one of the things that is like integral. We need to blah, blah, blah. And, you know, was listening to the show. And they were from everywhere. I actually got one from a researcher at Wash U, of all places. Washington University, I know. Our hometown of St. Louis. Super lefty school, you would think. But that was one of the things that, and they had said something, they had prefaced it like, we don't always agree, but I do agree with the remarks here about the sequence, et cetera. And then they said a bunch of stuff that I didn't understand because it was very medical and very, very sciencey. And it had to do with the splicing and all that stuff. I'm like, I don't know. I know gun law, but I don't know this. But that made me think, it made me think of this. They continue, this is the editorial by Stephen Quay and Richard Mueller. They continue and say, in the case of the gain-of-function supercharge, other sequences could have been spliced into the same state. Instead of a, now bear with me, they say instead of a CGG, known as a double CGG, that tells the protein factory to make arginine amino acids in a row, you'll obtain equal lethality by splicing any one of the 35 of the other two word combinations for double arginine. And if the insertion takes place naturally, say through recombination, then one of those 35 other sequences is far more likely to appear. CGG is rarely used in the class of coronaviruses that recombine with COV2. And they go on and on and on. And then they get into that this last bit, because they go through the mutations and it gets pretty heavy, at least in my opinion. I want to keep a 30,000 foot view here, but I will link this in the prep for you to have, and you can read it. But they say, quote, when the labs, Shi Xing Li, and now that's that doctor at WAV, and colleagues published a paper in February 2020 with the virus's partial genome, they omitted any mention of the special sequence that supercharges the virus or the rare double CGG section. Yet the fingerprint is easily identified in the data that accompany the paper. Was it omitted in the hope that no one would notice this evidence of the gain of function origin? Ooh. Ooh. Now, remember, NIH is ties to EcoHealth Alliance. So going back to Jen Psaki here saying, well, we don't have proof. We absolutely do have proof. Peter Daszak was the key. The guy at the Lancet who had organized all of these, it was like, 21 other scientists to come out and write that in the Lancet and say, oh, it's racist if you're questioning the origin of this. It's going to lead to anti-Asian bigotry, except I don't know that everybody's been saying Indian variant, and that hasn't led to, by the way, so Mount Everest in Nepal, there's apparently now a Nepal variant. What? Yeah. Oh, wait, hold up. I saved this. Bear with me. I wasn't going to bring this up, but then I just remembered it. But they're saying like a Nepal variant now because people are going and climbing the mountain, et cetera, and apparently there's like a, I don't know if it has to do with the altitude, but they said that because now it's opening, like mountain climbers and people who are going there to climb Mount Everest, they're concerned about the coronavirus and people coming from all over the world and being there together and then go back. There's it says Nepal COVID variant that may have been spread by mountain climbers because apparently the virus failed to deter anything. They say the mutation is potentially vaccine defeating and even more infectious than other strains. So here we go again. I know. So, and the New York Times has a piece that I saved, and it says two climbers died on Mount Everest as pandemic rampages through Nepal. This was from last month. This was May 13th. The climbers, one was a Swiss Pakistani and then the other an American. They were in the death zone. I mean, high altitude. Officials ruled out the coronavirus, but the media is like, oh, my gosh, the pandemic is raging. OK, but it was high altitude. Like it's called the death zone for a reason. And your trip isn't finished when you reach the summit. I mean, you got to climb back down and it's still super dangerous. Oh, man. So I don't know. We still have more to come. And just to give you a heads up as to everything we're going to be getting into There is, well, we've got some economic stuff to discuss, some ridiculous media because they were obsessed with Trump's pants over the weekend, and some information with China, all kinds of stuff. So you don't want to miss a single bit of the show. I got a lot of fun stuff for you to get you set up for the week, as we always do.
The Dana Show, sponsored by 30 years of game-changing Kel-Tec innovation, like the P50, a new breed of pistol. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec.
You should want to know how this happened so that we can make sure it doesn't happen again. But what's happened in the middle of all that? I've become the object of extraordinary, I believe, completely inappropriate, distorted, misleading and misrepresented attacks, which, you know, it is what it is, but it's happening. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah, that's Fauci. It's unfortunate that I got these criticisms. Well, it's unfortunate that you invited them. Yep. How unfortunate is that? That's a bummer choice that you made. Man, sucks for you, doesn't it? No. I mean, you made that choice, though. It's... Oh, gosh. We're in this like anti-science, anti-information era of history in a time when we have information at our fingertips that it's harder to find the truth.
It's more pro-disinformation than anything.
And it's not because of we have so many outlets. It's because we have so many people who are... This is why I'm against the... Whether it's the White House or... particularly legacy media trying to make the determination that their definition of misinformation is the only one that should count, because largely the misinformation came from them. It did. We got some Florida Man. Let's kick it.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Y'all, I just want to tell you that if you are going to try to get... revenge on a cheating ex and you were going to set their car on fire, first off, don't do that. But secondly, like, at least make sure that it's the car of your ex, because Carmen Chambly, 19, faces charges of second degree arson, according to Clearwater police, partly because she did not set on fire the correct car. She was arrested Saturday morning by Pinellas County Sheriff's Office just south of Clearwater. She set on fire a white Ford War truck. A white four-door vehicle. She set the fire in the trunk, and then she left the scene. She fled on a bicycle, and they identified her. She thought the car belonged to her ex, and it didn't. So that person is without a vehicle. A Clearwater man kidnapped and beat a woman, threatened more violence unless she opened an OnlyFans account. DeMarco Spears, 30 years old, facing several charges after Clearwater police say that he kidnapped and battered a woman and threatened more violence unless she created an OnlyFans account. According to police, he learned through Snapchat that this person apparently went somewhere without him, and then he called her more than 100 times through the night. He sounds like totally abusive, obviously, but why is that your demand? Like, I want you to create an OnlyFans account. I guess, like, he wanted to be, like, the digital pimp? I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of. He was totally arrested, by the way. And he faces charges of extortion, strong arm robbery, felony battery, grand theft, false imprisonment, tampering with a witness. So he's got a cornucopia of charges. A Florida man made Trump-shaped ecstasy pills. He got charged. Yes, they were orange. And this is terrifying. A Florida man says he hit a deer, but cops found a human leg at the crash scene. Yeah. Yeah. Click Orlando. What ended up happening is that Joseph Charles Strickland, he told police that he hit a deer. And then when the Florida Highway Patrol went to check it out, they found out that what he had actually done was hit a 32-year-old victim walking along Hernando County Road north of Tampa early in the morning. And he apparently got drug. The first line of the article, it says most of the body was left behind at a bait shop. Wow. And he was arrested on several charges. He left the scene of a crash involving a death. He tampered with evidence. He had no valid license or insurance. We need license and insurance control. This is what I'm telling you. That's not a loophole that he was able to drive, even though he didn't have a valid license or insurance. That's called a crime. That's a crime. It's not a loophole. It's a crime. Oh, boy. And he's still in jail. They don't even know if he has a lawyer or anything else. Good heavens. So coming up, the latest, because Biden's supposed to be meeting with Putin here coming up this month, and media malpractice. Stick with us.
The media, the Democrats, and the so-called experts are now finally admitting what I first said 13 months ago. The evidence demonstrates that the virus originated in a Chinese government lab. Couldn't say it. You couldn't say it. And Dr. Fauci, who I actually got along with, he's a nice guy. He's a great promoter, you know? Not a great doctor, but he's a hell of a promoter.
Jeez. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here at danalash.com. That's former President Trump, who spoke over the weekend, and all the media could talk about was his pants. They kept saying that he had his pants on backwards, and I'm like, he doesn't have his pants on back. Shut up. Gosh, why are you people such morons? Quit. So, but he said some very interesting things there. Welcome back to the show. Coming up later on, we got Stephen Yates is going to be joining us to get into some of the, some foreign policy, because Biden's going to be going to meet with Putin the end of this month, and Ukrainian President Zelensky is like, please stop with the Nord Stream 2, and it's, you know, he weakened NATO's position on all of this. Biden did with this policy. So there we have it. A couple of things here. Lots of stuff still. And I'm pulling up, bear with me, I'm pulling up a couple of different things. Because we have more. Here's my audio. Gosh dang it. I also liked this as well. Audio soundbite 10. Speaking of China, this is one of the other things that Trump had said during his remarks over the weekend. Listen.
The time has come for America and the world to demand reparations and accountability from the Communist Party of China.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We should all declare within one unified voice that China must pay. They must pay.
Yeah, I agree with that. I completely agree with that. It's never going to happen, but I agree with it. I mean, just saying. I mean, I think he's correct because of everything that they had unleashed, no matter. I mean, I know that they want to ignore that they did, but, you know. So I think that's smart what he said. I'm actually most interested in his remark about Ron DeSantis. I actually am more interested in that. It was very, because he said that he would consider, where's this at? I pulled this up somewhere. He had tweeted that he would, he'd consider Ron DeSantis as a VP candidate, which makes me think, sounds like he's going to run. He hasn't really said anything officially, but kind of does, you know, sound that way. And I think, what did I say to you? If for him to float something like that, it means, you know, because Ron DeSantis, he seems to be, in looking at, you know, 2024, honestly, I don't know who would come close to touching him. As if Trump isn't in the running, who would come close to touching him as a nominee for the GOP? In fact, I think everybody needs to go ahead and sit down that would be considering, just sit down. There's nobody else who, because he's gonna beat your socks off. I don't know how anybody else that would be able to do it and that has the record and that would be able to handle, I think, the press as well. I don't know if he could be a VP to Trump. Here's why I say that. Because DeSantis is his own guy. Not that Pence wasn't, but Pence is rather quiet, whereas Trump is. That's why you kind of need that's why I think Trump's spokespeople, his press secretaries, were all the way they were. These are people who, you know, they're competent people, but none of them are strong enough personalities to be able to hold something their own, you know? And I think that's plays better to Trump because Trump is able to speak for himself and he's able to be his own strong personality. You can't have that kind of person compete with other people who are speaking for them. And you can't have that kind of person compete with a VP. It just doesn't make sense to have two super strong personalities like that. It doesn't make sense in my book. I don't know. DeSantis is a great contender, though. Great contender. But I do like his remarks, though, on China. I think the best thing that Trump could do right now, especially ahead of Biden going and meeting with Putin, is to do everything he can to talk up the weakening of NATO under this administration. Although it's been made a lot more difficult for him because social media wants to suppress his participation from all of these platforms until conveniently after the 2022 election. That's on purpose because they're that just shows you that they're afraid, but it also shows you how much power they wield and how they should not have any exceptions or any special treatment under Section 230. They are a publisher, and by the way that they're operating, I think that's very clear. That needs to be done pronto. It's not going to be done until or unless House Republicans take over the House, unless 2022 is super successful and Republicans end up controlling the calendar, controlling the floor in the House, and get more numbers in the Senate ultimately. Although I think they would have enough right now to do it. Speaking of the Senate, Joe Manchin, I saw this criticism. I don't even know why this chick is relevant. She writes for The Atlantic, and that's about it. And the only reason that Jemele Hill is even like known is because she says crazy thirsty stuff. Like, what can I say to get more attention? Because critical thinking won't do it alone, because it's non-existent. She said that Joe Manchin is, she called him a white supremacist. She said, record number of black voters show up to save this democracy, only for white supremacy to be held up by a cowardly, power-hungry white dude. Someone needs to tell her, because this is peak stupidity, and I cannot believe that she would be this clueless about it. Someone needs to tell her that black voters turned out in record numbers, actually, to the point where it freaked out the Democrat Party. Black voters were going GOP in 2020. So wait, you're telling me that black voters start going GOP and suddenly you want to take away from the states the right to control and maintain their own election and put it all the way in Washington, D.C., have it all centralized and a hell of a lot easier to cheat and cancel people's votes out, not be able to get in touch with anybody and be able to weigh in on anything if something shady is happening with your locale? So it's very interesting. I could actually with way more reason and cause for concern to say that the moment that you have black Americans that start voting Republican in record amounts, then suddenly Democrats want to take from the states their right to control the elections, and they want it federalized all in one spot. Very interesting. Very interesting indeed. Also, can we get past this whole you're a white supremacist? I don't like that you have an opinion as different than mine. You're a white supremacist. And they always say that they're all about promoting diversity, except every bit of diversity except for diversity of thought, apparently. Diversity of thought is not allowed. All because Joe Manchin opposes that For the People Act, and he's not in support of the filibuster for making it happen. I'm so tired of this whole thing. You're a white supremacist. You're a white supremacist. Every damn day. You're a white supremacist. No, you're a white supremacist. It's just so old. No one even bats an eye at it anymore. It's just so spent. Stop. Meanwhile, you have this kind of stuff. Journal of American Psychoanalytic Association published a research article via The Federalist that describes being white as a, quote, malignant parasitic condition.
What?
Yeah. So half of you, Kane, is malignant and parasitic.
Holy smokes.
Uh-huh.
Half of me is offended.
It's like a health... This is a healthcare journal. Yeah, it's true. It's true. How weird. Here you have, all these years later, Karl Marx popularizes one of the most worthless theories of economics, this morbidly obese, smelly grifter who never, ever earned a dollar a day in his life, never earned his own money. His own mother said, Google this. His own mother said, I wish Carl actually earned money as much as he complains about it. He grifted off of all of his friends. He was a horrible husband and father. Someone slept with that man and procreated with him. That's disgusting, number one. Ugh. But his kids killed themselves. He was just a horrible human. And yet he is and he was a notorious anti-Semite and a notorious racist. I couldn't even, some of the letters that this man wrote to his friends, I couldn't even read on air. Such were the slurs. And this is the ideology that people are claiming to support in the name of diversity. Wow. It's even though it has nothing to do with, it's not diverse. It has nothing, not at all. And then you see this now in all of these. This is just horrible. The piece, this is the Journal of American Psychoanalytic Association. They said that it was written by Donald Moss, who is an author and activist. The article's titled Unhaving Whiteness, and he explains, quote, that whiteness establishes an entitled dominion and enables the host of parasitic whiteness to have power without limit, force without restriction, violence without mercy. And he adds that it has a drive to hate and terrorize, end quote. Oh my gosh.
He described Antifa.
Yeah, he did describe Antifa. Completely. Completely. This is, I mean, it's all communist. It's all communist. They have Noel Ignatieff, who is a dead historian. He was at Harvard. He was a commie. He founded a journal called Race Traitor, and the motto was, quote, treason to whiteness is loyal to humanity. And he, in his piece for Harvard, wrote Abolish the White Race, which this apparently thing in the American Psychoanalytic Association seems to be predicated upon. This is all communist thought, but they're using race to try to divide and agitate, because policy alone doesn't do it. Communism is one of the laziest ideologies that is out there. It really is. We have coming up, Stephen Yates will be joining us because Biden's going to be meeting with Putin coming up later this month. Why is he, wait until you hear the audio, because the National Security Advisor was asked about, it was very interesting. Yamiche Alcindor, who's with PBS, had asked the National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, whether or not Biden's able to convince European allies that Trump was an anomaly. What? I don't think the voters think that, because that's a representation of the voters. So we'll get into all of that and more.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So the Supreme Court unanimously blocked 400,000 people who entered the country illegally, and they were allowed to stay on humanitarian grounds. They were blocked for applying for a green card. The justices were acting in an appeal from a married couple from El Salvador. Jose Sanchez and Sonia Gonzalez had entered the U.S. illegally in 97 and 98, respectively. They were granted protected status after they fled after a series of earthquakes. Justice Elena Kagan said that status does not come with an admission ticket. That's progressive Justice Elena Kagan. Wait, I'm sorry. That's me stopping the record and car and everything else. Liberal progressive Justice Elena Kagan said that status does not come with an admission ticket. Wow. And that, wow. Okay, well.
You look at the letter of the law.
Wow. That never happens, though. And when it does, it's real weird. Isn't it weird when it happens? You're like, wait a minute, what? They actually paid. What just happened here? I know, right? So apparently children with celiac disease has doubled in the past 25 years. Now, are these kids who are actually allergic to gluten, or is it everyone who is like, no, I'm allergic to gluten, because they think that that's like a trendy thing? Can they even define, can some people define what gluten
sounds
is?
Sounds like they're diagnosed, so I would imagine it's an actual diagnosis.
They said the number of gluten intolerant children has doubled over the last 25 years, according to a new study. Now, apparently celiac is one of the most common lifelong conditions in Europe. They said that it may not be getting the treatment. People may not be getting the treatment they need because they haven't been diagnosed. And so that it was Marsh Polytechnic University in Italy. And that's the people who came out with the study. But that, I mean, that's a lot of people if that's the case. Oh, my heavens. So This is a, there was a museum, KBZK, this is in Montana. A fire destroys outbuildings at Polson Museum. And apparently the museum founder said he was burning dandelion fluff in the yard when a spark caught the side of one of the buildings. And so that's how apparently they had a fire that got started. John Rahm is ejected from the Memorial Tournament moments after finishing his last round with a 6-shot lead because he tested positive for coronavirus. I think that's unfair. I think that's totally unfair. So because he tested positive, like, did he not know he was positive?
It's outdoors.
Yeah, and it's outdoors, and you're typically not right by somebody.
Right.
And if everybody there's vaccinated, then what's the, why does he got to be disqualified? That's so stupid. Stephen Yates joins us next. Wait until you hear what Kamala Harris said in her speech in Guatemala just a bit ago. Stick with us and we'll show you.
Ditch the legacy media and unfree press by subscribing to The Dana Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to be clear to folks in this region who are thinking about making that dangerous trek to the United States-Mexico border. Do not come. Do not come.
So that's the Vice President Kamala Harris there, who is telling people to not come, to not come out. And what gets me about this is that, do you remember the flashback? Do you remember when Jim Acosta was grilling who was this? Stephen Miller.
Yep.
He was grilling Stephen Miller over the inscription on the Statue of Liberty as though it was law, because that seems quite opposite to what Kamala Harris was saying here in Guatemala just a little bit ago. This is a flashback for you. This is from just a couple of years ago. Listen.
What you're proposing here, what the president is proposing here, does not sound like it's in keeping with American tradition when it comes to immigration. The Statue of Liberty says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Doesn't say anything about speaking English or being able to be a computer programmer.
That's when they were talking about merit-based, you know, immigration. Like, what are you bringing in? What are you going to be able to, you know, like, bring in terms of employment, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, my goodness. Just amazing. Ooh, joining us on this and other issues, our good friend Stephen Yates, a foreign policy expert. You can find him at Yates.com. on social media, and he worked in the Bush administration advising former VP Dick Cheney. Stephen, first off, it's good to see you. VP Kamala Harris goes down to Guatemala to discover what's happening at the southern border, and then she says this. This seems quite different from what the media told the Trump administration how we should be handling immigration, because she's saying it's, what she's saying, Stephen, is completely contrary to what the inscription states on the Statue of Liberty. And we all know that that's binding law.
Yeah, well, it's always fascinating to see the true and consistent principles of the left and their friends in the media following the adage of where you stand is a function of where you sit. And if you sit in opposition, then you're imposing one standard a la Acosta, trying to lecture people about immigration law. But, you know, if you're a Democrat sitting in the White House or flying over the border, skipping the crisis in order to talk to other countries, then you can just tell people not to come. It would have been fascinating to see Kamala Harris run that as a campaign platform during that really distinguished run for the presidency that she had. But Democrats were definitely not in sync with the don't come message through that election cycle. And I don't even know whether she's even talked with President Biden about this message.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure whether she has either. Though he might be, he's got a packed schedule. That's what we heard from the press or from from Jen Psaki today. His schedule, Steve, it's packed. It's a packed schedule. He was asked, I wanted to play some audio for you. I'm going to pull up my audio list here. Because he's going to be meeting coming up. He's going to be meeting with Vladimir Putin, I think, towards the end of this month. Zelensky, the Ukraine's president, was remarking on the Nord Stream 2, and the Biden's green lighting of this, you know, the continuation of the construction of this. And Kay and I had put this in Slack. This audio from Ukraine's president, he was asked by press, and he had said something to the effect of, Well, it's you know, this is weaponization. This is weaponization of really, and it's undermining NATO, and they might as well be giving bullets with something that he has, the language that he had. I wanted to get your response to this, though, because obviously that's something that's going to be coming up when Biden goes to meet Putin. And Ukraine is correct. I mean, this does really weaken NATO. I think the question is by how much, and how is that going to be addressed? Or even, do you think it will even be addressed between Putin and Biden?
I really don't think it's going to be addressed, because the Biden administration made the decision to make concessions in advance. I think there's been a deep current that I find remarkable in this woke era that we live in, that when the Biden administration, Democrats and their friends in the media talk about allies, they're not really talking about allies around the world. They're really only talking about some old European allies like Germany, like France, occasionally Britain, but they're really not talking about anybody else. And when it was in the interests of a questionable German leader to move in this direction, the Biden administration says, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and waive legislatively mandated sanctions in order to accommodate Russia and Germany on this. It completely ignores other allies with a stake in this. The Ukrainians, after all, had a binding treaty agreement where we promised to extend a nuclear umbrella in exchange for guaranteeing their territorial integrity and their forsaking nuclear deterrence themselves. The Obama administration let that go by the wayside. The Biden administration pretends as if it was never an obligation at all. And my guess is that when Biden and Putin sit down, Ukraine doesn't really even come up.
Yeah, well, that, which is sad. It did come up in a presser with the National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, PBS's Yamiche Alcindor. I want you to react to this audio soundbite. Listen, this question that she asked him was insane to me. This, take a listen to this. This is earlier.
There was through the decades of the Cold War.
Thank you so much. My question is, can you talk a bit about how President Biden plans to convince, especially our European allies, that former President Trump was an anomaly in some ways? All of the things that he did to, in some ways, traumatize those leaders, calling into question the need for NATO. What's the plan there? And is he concerned that those scars are going to be deeper than his ability to address them in this one trip?
He was an anomaly, and he apparently was an abuser to all these countries, Stephen. And so those are some pretty deep scars. How is Biden going to address these scars? And just what a question. What is your reaction to this?
Well, that a person that asks that kind of a question has press credentials at all, I think, is a scandal, especially within 24 hours of the first administration in two generations not to even acknowledge D-Day. Mm. So you want to talk about a scar that is left on allies. What about the sacrifice of a couple of generations ago of the soldiers of European allies and Americans to keep the world free from what? Real fascism, Nazism, and Russia. President Trump acknowledged these holidays, these memorial days, acknowledged the sacrifice, all this stuff. To me, it's just mind-blowing that someone can really pretend as though these people were hurt because of mean tweets. I mean, Vladimir Putin's administration has poisoned people to death. There's a former Ukrainian leader whose face is completely mangled because he survived the poisoning of the Russian attack on him. And so we're going to worry about hurt feelings. Give me a break. Why don't they hand out like a teddy bear for every member of the press to console themselves with this harsh rhetorical environment they live in?
What about cookies, though? Would that work? Because apparently Kamala Harris did this off-record cookie delivery. It was weird because they were faceless, which I thought was maybe that would have been really too hard to do. But that was weird. I don't like faceless little things like that. But she handed out cookies of herself.
Nothing says government like a faceless image given to you with the promise of helping you. But I just thought back of, number one, it's so narcissistic to just have someone give out a gift that say, hey, look at me. I mean, maybe if I remember there being like puzzles of the vice president's residence or a White House ornament or something like that. But how about a nifty little image of me that you can eat and will become a part of you as you kind of take in this lovely cookie? It's just the most the strangest thing in the whole wide world. The only thing weirder would have been if Cheney had done that. I don't know what anyone would have done if Cheney had given out cookies of himself.
If Trump had, then the media would have said, Trump just told the whole press to eat him. Like it was an insult. Trump just said he'd eat the press. That's what this is. That actually would have been hysterical. And I do hope that there is someone in the future in politics who does that. I wanted to ask you, too, kind of switching our focus over to the Pacific. China's mad because there are some senators who are taking a trip to Taiwan, and there are some Democrats too, including Senator Tammy Duckworth. They traveled there. They're there now. June 6th is when they left. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Wang Wenbin said that China, quote, expresses strong dissatisfaction about the visit, and they've lodged a solemn representation. This is according to Channel News Asia. They said that they should be prudent. The United States should be prudent when dealing with Taiwan. They call them separatist forces is how they referenced Taiwan, and a risky provocation. Meanwhile, Duckworth is telling reporters in Taiwan, the United States will not let you stand alone. We're going to be by your side. That's what she said, direct quote. So she has stronger words over there for Taiwan than Biden ever has. I think that's good on her. Good on Duckworth for that.
It is very, very good. And there are two Democrats, one Republican on that visit. So lest anyone think that standing up to China on the bullying campaign it's engaged in is a partisan issue. And I think the most remarkable thing about this is, you know what that military aircraft was carrying besides senators? Vaccines.
Wow.
Vaccines for what? A virus that China unleashed on the world and is attacking people around the world. So you just imagine the chutzpah meter going off and breaking at someone saying, no, you're engaged in some kind of an attack on us because you're going to inoculate people against a virus we sent to kill them.
Yeah, no, that's a very, very good point indeed. Yeah, they said 7 million vaccine doses to numerous countries, including Taiwan, through the COVAX program, I guess, that they're doing with the United Nations. That's a big, I mean, that was a big message to China there, obviously. And of course, they're furious about it, but nobody's talking about that. One last quick thing for you. Victoria Park in Hong Kong, 32 years of having a remembrance of Tiananmen Square, and nobody was there this past year. People could sit here and say coronavirus protocol all they want to. I think that's just an excuse for the commies in Beijing. I read one story where people were out at like out in the street, and they were outdoors eating at restaurants, and they held their phones up at 8 o'clock because it's always between 8 and 8:09 p.m. and they held their phone screens up to have the lights on. Your quick thoughts on this, because that's hugely significant, and Taiwan is looking at what Hong Kong is becoming, and it's quite depressing here 32 years on that we're dealing with now. An expanse of essentially what we saw in 89.
It is depressing. It's very, very sad because Hong Kong really was on the front lines of freedom through a lot of the Cold War. I was in Asia in 1989 when the Tiananmen massacre happened. Oh, it was one of those events that completely changed my outlook on China, on the world. It was a remarkable thing that the global media was right there to actually capture what happened, because if there hadn't been the promise of a Gorbachev visit, the media wouldn't have been there, and the Chinese could have whitewashed this from the get-go. And the only reason why this really resonated as a major international issue that made for sanctions against China for a long time was because the media was there and couldn't ignore it. And it's just striking that an authoritarian, totalitarian regime can basically repeat lies and whitewash history with such vigor. And after a certain amount of time, their own people believe it. Professors in distinguished universities start talking about it as if it doesn't matter. And really, up until 2 years ago, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of Hong Kongers under PRC sovereignty that would show up at this park for this solemn occasion to say, never forget. Mm-hmm. And last year there were fewer people, but still a lot. This is the first year because of the national security law that the Communist Party imposed on Hong Kong, that people are just afraid for their livelihoods and their safety if they're to turn out. They're still entrepreneurial. They come up with creative ways to protest. They put some of it up on social media. But it's really just a sad, sad signal of how far that kind of a government's willing to go. And they're willing to go that far against us, too. And that's where people have to sober up, that this is not just what they do to Tibetans and to Uyghurs and to Hong Kongers. They do this to anyone that opposes them as soon as they have the means to impose their will.
Exactly. Exactly. Stephen Yates at YatesCom. Always good to see you, Stephen. Thanks so much for joining us. And have a great rest of your week. We'll talk with you again soon. God bless.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.
Of course.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
DanaLash.com. So Joe Biden's budget uses the term birthing people instead of women. Yeah. Uses the term birthing people instead of women. It says reduces maternal mortality rate, ends race-based disparities in maternal mortality, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. It says that to help end this high rate of maternal mortality and race-based disparities in outcomes among birthing people. So first off, that is Biden. That's like an erasure of women. That's some sexist BS. But secondly, so if, you know, it's not important to acknowledge the fact that women exist anymore, can we stop pretending that it's anything historic that there's a woman VP? She's not. No, it's not. It's no big deal. It's just a VP birthing person. It's okay.
It's unbelievable. I don't know of any other birthing people than biological women. Do you?
Nope.
I don't.
Nope. I don't. None at all. I mean, this is some sexist BS. Erasing women. But hey, you know, it's all right, women. Get back in the kitchen. Right. That's just how it is. Don't sit here and tell me that this is not some kind of patriarchal nonsense.
I mean, they've whittled it down to one attribute to describe.
Yeah, because, you know, that's all women are.
That's all women are. Birthing people.
But that's not sexist or anything.
Good,
you know,
God.
I'm going to get hot here before we finish this show. I'll talk more about this tomorrow. Oh, yeah. You'll be seeing it. You'll be seeing it in your newsletter tonight. Oh, and don't forget, no apologies, 5 p.m. Central, 6 Eastern on the 1st. Kane, today in stupidity.
It is our former President Obama who is slamming the GOP, calling these voter integrity pressures somehow they're rigging the game, right?
This really has to do with the basic rules by which we all have agreed to keep diverse, you know, multiracial democracy functioning.
Good Lord.
Are we going to stick to those rules, or are we going to start rigging the game in a way that
rigging
breaks
the game?
It?
How about, why aren't you for integrity in voting? Are you so insecure in Democrats winning that you have to be against voter integrity?
Mm-hmm.
It's stupid. It's stupid.
It is. Oh my gosh. Well, don't forget, no apologies. 5 Central, 6 Eastern on the 1st. DanaLash.com. Sign up for that newsletter, and I will be back behind the mic with you tomorrow. We'll get through the week, y'all.